Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Today's episode of The Instance is brought to you by Doghouse Systems at doghousesystems.com. Get a free SSD drive when you use the code FROGPANTS at checkout. And if you're looking for other ways to support the show, check it out at patreon.com/frogpants. It's how shows like The Instance are made. That's patreon.com/frogpants.
You are listening to The Instance.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance episode 481. I'm Scott Johnson, joined by Patrick from France, or really from somewhere in Scandinavia at the moment. Hello, Patrick.
Hey, yeah, I am in Scandinavia. It's extremely cold. We don't have running water. I've been collecting snow and boiling it to wash up once every 3 days, as per my usual French habits.
Yeah.
So everything's good.
Good that you're keeping that hygiene up. Eating the cheese, drinking the wine, and rubbing them armpits. That's awesome. I don't know why I'm saying any of this, but I do know that Terpster's joining us as well. Hello,
yeah.
Terpster. What's
up?
Well,
I've taken a break out of my telethon. I'm raising money at the moment for a group of really vulnerable people up in Finland and Scandinavia. A load of things we take for granted, like running water, heating, just hygiene, being pleasant, a lot of things like that, they lack incredible. It's really upsetting. So I don't want to get everyone down at the beginning of the show, but I am collecting donations in the form of WoW tokens.
Money?
WoW tokens.
So WoW tokens. You can just use those, trade them to me. I will then redeem those for BattleNet balance, and maybe, just maybe, we can help just bring a little joy to some of those really hard done by.
We're going to talk about those a little later, because they're in a weird place right now, those tokens. We'll talk about those. But it's a good time, to be investing in that. It's a good time for Terpster to get his donations, because otherwise they're kind of expensive. Also with us, Dills from beautiful, sunny Texas. What's going on?
Lots of running water. Lots of warm weather.
Yeah.
But other than that, struggling.
Yeah.
Struggling.
Same deal here. It's weird. Like, all these Europeans complaining about all the cold. We've been in like the 60s Fahrenheit, which is weird and warm.
But you know what, though? Like, Patrick, you don't have running water, but I still have to get up every morning and look at Twitter. And it's just, the worst.
Oh, can we get something out of the way? We got to get something out of the way right up top so that we don't ever to talk about it again. It was found out over the weekend that Steve Bannon, Trump's number one advisor guy, and no matter where you land politically, this isn't a political conversation, it just should be mentioned, it was unearthed that he used to be a gold seller and funneled $60 million.
Oh, yeehaw.
Yeah.
I was okay with him before, but now, oh, man.
Yeah, this really pushed
you
over the edge.
The thing is, you can see, though, it kind of, you can see why, for example, a lot of fear towards, global warming being a Chinese conspiracy. Mm-hmm. You can see how a lot of people would be trying to, cast doubt on the honest, hardworking Chinese gold farmers who are taking, valuable revenue away from American homegrown gold farmers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
exactly. We don't want to start making our own gold here in the States again. I think we want to get
like,
back to that.
Was the company
we're gonna drain
in,
the swamp.
Was it a Chinese company or an American company
that was farming
the gold?
That I don't know. There's a Polygon article, I think, or Kotaku or something, where they get a little bit deeper in it. But I think,
I'll be honest, I just read the headline and I hit retweet. I was like, shazam!
Retweet, bam. Retweet. Don't
retweet,
care about the content.
Retweet. I'm nonpartisan around a lot of this because I'm English.
Yeah.
But I do love the fact of just the fact that this even exists.
Yeah.
I think that's great. It shows, again, how much World of Warcraft has permeated our world, our culture, our life, our futures, our pasts, everything. WoW is just this cultural touchstone. Mm-hmm. And I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Everyone's been affected by it, even people in unreasonable amounts of power. So there's that. So now we've talked about it. Everyone who said, you guys need to talk about it. We did it. We talked about it. It's done. He was a gold farmer. He funneled $60 million.
Well, he wasn't a gold farmer. It's he not didn't like log Steve in every day was sitting down gold. At his desk and like went and hacked people's accounts. And well, he invested the money and
he
apparently
didn't
lost
hack
it.
Them.
It was $60
the
million.
Russians hacked the accounts and he just used the information.
There's more to this conspiracy than I thought. Right. The deal is it was $60 million, Patrick. You're right. It was funneled through, or the money came from, I guess the loans came from Goldman Sachs, which is interesting in its own way. And he lost
man.
It.
Yes, I like it.
Yeah, and it didn't go well. It's essentially that money's gone, and it was a poor investment. So I don't know if that was to compete with Chinese gold farmers, if it was to
Make America great again.
It might
make
have been
America gold farming great again. And this is why Trump won't release his tax returns, because we would know how much he actually was backing the Chinese at this time. And that's why the Chinese gold farming market was so strong.
Yeah.
They had all of
well,
that
yeah,
Trump
Trump's a
power
winner,
behind
right?
it. Exactly. He's a winner. He's good at speaking. He was born good. People say you speak better than, most, if not all. He does.
Well, try as I might to avoid them. I know emails are coming, so it's fine.
Well, I can tell you now, those emails are fake. They're fake emails. There are
only the negative
messages.
Ones, though.
Yeah,
only
the negative we get that's negative is a fake.
The negative emails we get are fake emails, and the positive ones we get are the greatest emails ever known to
man. They're alternative emails. I got it. I see how it is.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's good to have everybody here. We got a full crew and stuff to talk about, so I think we should just dive right in to this. Yesterday, Activision Blizzard got on their earnings call and did really, really well, it turns out. People have been talking a bit about how a lot of the video game industry has had to scale back in recent months, quarters, and years. And specific examples of that are certain closures and some other things. But Blizzard does not seem to be living in that same space.
Equally, Activision Blizzard did really well because of Blizzard.
Yeah.
And that's the beautiful thing. When you look at the titles that are really performing, Blizzard's just knocking out of the park.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
It's not like Activision didn't do well on their own, but Blizzard really, oh my God, so many numbers.
They padded
just
it
Overwatch,
out.
Man. Yeah. Overwatch is just, for
it's not just Overwatch. I mean, we don't have the detail, but the Hearthstone is doing incredibly well in spite of the anger that the community is immersed in, apparently. And don't forget World of Warcraft, Legion, as well.
Did really well.
It was a big one.
Here's some of the numbers. We'll break them down. Activision Blizzard had 447 million monthly active users in the quarter. They call those MAUs. let's see. Oh, yeah. Blizzard had its highest annual MAU in 2016 with 36 million. That's up 37% from 2015 and 87% since 2014. So that is serious
insane.
Growth. Yeah, serious
that
growth.
Is a lot.
Insane.
Yeah. But you've got to feel like a lot of that is Hearthstone being a free mobile app. Mm-hmm. You get a lot of mileage out of a free mobile app.
Well, then you stack on top of that a free-to-play MOBA that is growing and a very popular shooter that's outsold.
Was it like 25 million last, or is it even
25 million is the latest number?
It's crazy. I mean, this is year-over-year growth.
The interesting thing is that it's not just up this year, which you could attribute solely to Overwatch potentially, but as you just said, it's also up from 2014. It's 2015 and 2014 that the increase has been significant. So it's not only Overwatch, it's a lot of things.
Right. It's pretty impressive regardless.
Year on year. Bam.
Yeah, incredible.
Anyway, Blizzard. They're really good at making good games.
They had fourth quarter record of those of 41 million people. Yeah, that's again MAUs in that quarter. That's crazy. Overwatch became Blizzard's fastest selling game. You guys mentioned already 25 million players globally. And Overwatch broke the previous launch record. Go ahead.
How did it get like 36 million MAUs in 2016 and 41 in the fourth quarter?
That's interesting. Let's see. How did that work?
Is it 14 or is it just weird?
It's just weird. Like, that's the other problem here. They're not as much as these numbers reveal a lot of things, there's a lot of things they don't talk about anymore. Like, they don't talk about the Legion numbers. We don't know. We know that Legion did well, but we don't know how many people that is. The way they describe it is World of Warcraft had monthly active users growth of 10% in 2016 and over 20 year over year for the quarter or for the fourth quarter on the back of the successful launch of Legion. That doesn't
and
really tell us.
18% on the percentile return of the seventh day after the third. It's just like, come on, just give me a number.
Yeah.
Why is it all these like, but anyway, yeah. WoW's doing well. Overwatch is doing like super well. It's got 55 Game of the Year awards. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is huge. Mm-hmm. That is massive.
Can I throw out a controversial thing? Not that it's that controversial, but I think that Overwatch found its business model. Its business model wasn't just the initial sale of the game. Its business model clearly is going nuts for holidays. And they talked about how it drove new records for engagement with the game during the Halloween Terror thing and the Winter Wonderland thing and now this Chinese New Year thing. They are selling loot boxes like hand over fist. Everyone I talk to, I ask, oh, did you unlock any? And they go, oh, yeah, I got almost all of them. I'm like, oh, so you bought $50 worth of boxes. Oh yeah, I do it every holiday. Like, I think they tapped into something that maybe they knew was there. I don't know. But I wonder how quickly we're going to see. Well, certainly Heroes has been rumored to be working on some sort of loot box solution. But I wonder how quick we're going to see loot boxes across everything that Blizzard makes, because clearly that's done really well for them. Every time there's an event like this outside of, I mean, I know there's special things to do in Winter Wonderland, and the Halloween Terror thing was a co-op event and all that. So there's reasons to come back if you're not as enthralled with the PvP element of the game. But still, that's just insane to me how much money they must be making hand over fist with those loot boxes. And they don't get into what that is. They don't give us numbers on how many loot boxes were sold and what does that represent in real money. So we don't know, but we know it was a lot.
We did have, I don't know if you have that number, but we did see that the in-game content represents 36% of the total revenue of Activision Blizzard. So it's not just Blizzard, but 36%. And digital is, for Activision Blizzard, it's $4.8 billion. The entirety of the revenue for 2015 was 4.6. So they made more digitally than they made total last year, yeah. And the total revenue is $6.6 billion for Activision Blizzard.
It was not that long ago that $6 billion was the total amount that the video game industry represented for a year. And now look at those guys with their 4.8 alone. That's just nuts. Nuts.
I mean, games well. Are worth more than music and film put together.
Yeah.
You know, the games industry is stupid money.
Got to start taking advantage of it, I guess. I don't know. I guess we are. I guess everyone is. World of Warcraft grew 10%. I mentioned that 2016. That's 20% year over year. They saw an increase in total playtime for the quarter for World of Warcraft. That surpassed the quarter three expansion launch quarter and non-launch quarters of the last 4 years. So I think you can probably say, based on those numbers alone, that Legion is pretty
damn successful.
But
hang on, Legion launched like at the very end of Q3. So
yeah, November. You know, I think, when does the quarter end? Is it
like September, doesn't it? Or is it October? October. Yeah, October, November, December 3.
I think you're right.
So yeah. So I mean, really, you're talking like a month and a bit. But I mean, it's still, you know, it's impressive. But again, that's a tribute to the fact that Legion has had the most content, substantial content, in a long time.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't had this kind of frequency of big content drops, it feels like, in a very long time.
Yeah, it's been a while. Overwatch broke the previous launch record for unit sales, and that was set by 2012's launch of Diablo 3, and received 55 Game of the Year awards, or Game of the Year awards, which is pretty significant, I think. Did really well that way, critically.
Blizzard don't normally win Game of the Year awards, in all fairness. They make some of the best games of all time, but they don't actually that often win Game of the Year.
Well, you think it's because they're just kind of like this known quantity. It's like, hey, guess what? Blizzard's sitting around making rad games, everybody.
Exactly. It's like, you know, Beyonce did another number one. All right, cool. Good on you, B. You know, that's great. Whereas, you know, and Blizzard's in that same thing. I like, you know, if Beyonce bombs, all of a sudden people are like, what? And the same with Blizzard. If Blizzard launches a terrible game, that'll be everywhere. Mm. But Blizzard making a great game is just, they're like, hey, cool. Cheers, man.
Hearthstone had its highest MAUs in 2016, growing more than 20%. Dills, does that jive with just the generals? I mean, I don't know anyone who's closer to the pulse of the game than you are. Does that amount of growth jive with how that game feels to you right now and kind of where things are at with Hearthstone?
Yeah, absolutely does. The people who are complaining about the game are basically the people who play every day, like all day, every day.
Yeah.
I would say definitely there's 20% more shamans on the ladder.
There's a lot of shaman out there. But one of the reasons for that is it's a fairly easy deck to craft. And when a lot of new players come in and start playing the game, they're trying to look for a competitive deck. And they land on one that they can actually afford to get fairly quickly. So it's fine, actually. The one thing that I do think is that the players who are going to play every day for a long time are valuable players for Blizzard to pay attention to, for sure. Mm-hmm. But obviously, they know numbers. They know exactly how many people are playing. Unless the numbers were going in the wrong direction, a lot of their response has been, things are not as bad as you guys think they are. And that really points to me that, the game is healthy as far as a player base is concerned, right? As long as growth is concerned. So.
Right.
I really do think I think what you hear on Reddit is not representative of the truth of what Hearthstone is doing right now.
Yeah, it's the microcosm of a combination of hardcore and longtime players. And I think this happens.
We've
everywhere.
Had this with World of Warcraft too. I mean, as they pared down things like skills and made the game less grindy in lots of ways, people thought that the game was becoming, this Care Bear MMO for everybody in the casuals, right?
Mm-hmm.
And hardcore players are pissed about that.
Preach it, brother.
Yeah, but the fact of the matter is, the game continued to grow as they did that.
Terpster starting his...
Of course it grew, because there's so many more casuals in the world.
Yeah. Nostralius 2, with Terpstaurus 2 is opening soon.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Terpstaurus. And basically, it's the game back when it was good. It's
subjectivity to that at all. Zero subjectivity to that.
It's the alpha, just because was super exclusive and you didn't even hear about it then.
That's true.
So that's the game we play.
We had Blizzard had record levels of quarterly and full year in-game revenue, and that was driven, they say, by World of Warcraft in-game content and continued strength in the Overwatch customization items, aka loot boxes.
I can't wait to hear though how much money they have made or haven't made through the token now. Like, the token's crazy. Mm-hmm. I love the token. Mm-hmm. I think the token's, I don't know. For me, it's that dream about, I feel like when I'm playing World of Warcraft, I'm being productive. It's like, what are you doing? I'm just farming a few more packs in Hearthstone. That's just, that's crazy. Yeah, I love it. So I would love to see that reflected in the next earnings quarter, where they're like, we gave people an opportunity to kind of like have a job playing our games. And it turns out a lot of people, they wanted to have jobs, so we made a load of money.
I would like to know the actual, I would like it to be quantified.
Yeah.
Is it easier to earn $15 worth of packs by farming a gold token? Or is it easier to just play enough games of Hearthstone to earn 1,500 gold?
Or again, just to go out to the workplace and, how many hours?
$15?
Yeah, exactly. Just have a job. I think, again, I'd love to see someone do the effort there. I'm never going to do that. But, by all means, that'd be great.
Yeah, let's figure it out.
I don't know if we want to launch into the WoW token to Battle.net balance discussion already.
You totally can if you want. There's no rules here.
We're done on the call.
Let's die. The only other thing I would say is none of these numbers, I think, include the king numbers, which is, your Candy Crush side of things. Oh, they do include that. Okay.
Well, the total revenue.
Okay. But this number down here, this 3.6 billion, more than double 1.6 billion in 2015. If you exclude King, revenues in-game content grew 30% year over year. So even if you take King out, 30% growth is huge.
Right.
Yeah.
So in this case, if you include King, the in-game revenue grew 125%, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But what they're saying is that's not only because of King. Obviously, King is mobile games and you buy lots of stuff in the game. So that's all going to be in-game revenue. But even if you exclude King, the revenue of Activision and Blizzard grew 30% year over year. So
Yeah,
they're saying lots of stuff in game.
Excluding King? I call that the death of Varian Wrynn.
Oh, man, don't do that.
They excluded the king. They excluded him. It's pretty
no
good.
No one's got time. That's horrible, Scott. How could you?
Too soon is what you're saying?
Yeah, far too soon.
All right. Talk about WoW Token. So, man, here's the deal. You can now convert that to Battle.net balance, which is like your Steam wallet. It's like your money
Blizzard
from Blizzard
Bucks.
Stuff. Blizzard Bucks, sure. I still wish they called it Blizzard Bucks, but whatever. I'm not going to do that.
So basically...
Yeah, explain this, Patrick. How does it work?
Because it might be a little bit weird for some people. Let's say Terpster buys a token for $20, and he's like, I need gold in game. I don't have time to grind. I'm going to buy a token. Works as it has worked before. He buys the token for $20, puts it up on the auction house, get, let's say, 100,000 gold out of that token. So for his $20, he got 100,000 gold. I, on the other hand, paid 100,000 gold and got the token. Until now, I could only redeem the token for some game time. But now, what I can do is decide, am I going to get some game time or some Battle.net balance? If I choose game time, it's 30 days, as it has been before. If I choose Battle.net balance, it's $15. And you might notice that 15, which I get, is less than 20, which Terpster paid. So in that operation, Blizzard just made, $5 just extra like this for no good reason. Mm. And they're keeping that the money you got in their system. And they're also draining gold.
Swamp.
I don't know if they're... Are they draining gold? Do they take a commission of the gold? Like, do you get the exact amount I
think you get, I believe, well, when you have a token, it tells you how much you're going to get, regardless of what it actually sells for. So it may end up selling for more, in theory, but the gold and the token aren't necessarily interwoven.
Okay, but it's a direct, it's not draining money out of the game. It's not draining gold out of the game.
It's not a gold dump, as far as I know. I don't think so.
Yeah.
No.
That's all right. That'd
well,
be an
so
interesting idea.
Yeah. And if you're farming gold in the game for, like, if you have tons and tons of gold, you can use that to get loot boxes in Overwatch, heroes in Heroes, or cards in Hearthstone, or lots of other things.
Yeah, across the board. I'm really curious why. Okay, I realize this isn't all that complicated. Like, it's actually kind of simple the way they spell it out. But I still say it's weird that you just can't go to some site like the Blizzard store or the Blizzard e-store or whatever in the game and buy some gold. Like, just straight up buy gold. Why is that the thing?
You are. You're basically paying. When you buy the token, you can see what the price is. And so you are. You're just having to do it in game. It's like, why can't I send an in-game mail to my friend, via email? Why have I got to log into the game to do it? There's just certain things they kind of want people to come in, because while you're in there, maybe, oh, hey, Scott, can you tank this group for us? Oh, yeah, actually, yeah, I can. And then, oh, man, I love playing this game. I remember how much I love this. I'm going to sub up again next week. Hmm. You know, they want reasons for you to come into the game and play.
Okay.
So, I mean, yeah.
That makes sense. I guess that could be as all the reason that they would need. But from a just
and
a
they
practical...
make enough money from it not being frictionless.
Well, right,
you know,
right,
if it was
right.
completely frictionless, and they would make more money, just as you would, but they make enough money that the other fringe Halo benefit is in their favor.
Right. It just is. I can see how some would find it discordant to go, well, if I can go buy a $25 mount, why can't I in that same interface buy $50 worth of gold? You know, like it does seem a little weird. But now that you say it that way, I guess I kind of agree. It gets them in the game. It makes it requires them to jump through a couple of hoops, easy hoops, but hoops nonetheless, to get something done, and that may keep them in for other reasons.
Yeah, it's like every single Heroes promotion.
Right.
It's all about, hey, come and just play the game. Honestly, just give it a go. And everyone's like, oh, man, this is amazing. I love it.
So I want to know, the person that probably is the most interested in in-game revenue that would bring in more content is Dills with his Hearthstone cards. So is this a thing that you're now like, oh, okay, I'm all up on this. Let's do this. Is this a thing you want to do?
I mean, to be honest, not really. I think it's great that it's an option now because, honestly... You could only do 30 days of game time was definitely a limitation. So the good thing about it really to me is not just that, like, oh, now you can do Hearthstone cards. The good thing is just that people who have insane amounts of gold, just for whatever reason, can just decide to do something else with it if they want to. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I just like the fact that it gives people a little bit of you know, just a little bit of flexibility in what they can do with, like, if you've earned a bunch of gold and there's nothing to spend it on, at least now you have something, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah, I know friends who are like, I can now buy every mount and bundle that I want in Heroes because I have all of this old, you know, 600,000-700,000 gold that I'm just sitting on, and I'm not even playing WoW right now or whatever. I need to, you know,
there's no downside to this, to changing this, to me,
right?
Anyway,
right.
Other than, I guess, the fact, like Patrick's point about it becoming this $5, like it went down in actual value, right? Mm-hmm. But gold and money aren't necessarily always locked together 1-to-1, right?
It's, that doesn't affect the person. I mean, the person who paid for the token got the gold for 20 bucks, and the person who paid, the gold got money. It's not like the same person lost $5. It's just that in the transaction, magically, Blizzard got the $5 out of nothing. Mm-hmm. Or didn't lose the $5. But,
and also, it allows cash-rich, hardcore Blizzard fans, gold-rich, hardcore World of Warcraft fans.
Blizzard ecosystem.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, oh, hang on, they've just released the Necromancer in Diablo. Oh, actually, I've got all this gold I'm not doing anything with. Yeah, sure, I'll try that out. And then, you know, that creates a healthier community in that game. More players are available to play in that. In Heroes, I think Heroes is probably the place you'll see most of this spent. Because a lot of those Heroes, they're at a price point.
Yeah, I think
it's
Heroes and
stinging.
You can buy like Overwatch loot boxes and stuff.
Yeah,
too, right? So
exactly.
The thing is, though, I think there has to be some depreciation of the value, or else it's a system that is like possibly can be abused, right? So, you can't abuse it to like make real money necessarily. I mean, I'm not saying that, but like if it doesn't work this way, then it's just kind of it doesn't quite work. I don't know. It's hard to explain, but like,
I know what you're
basically
saying.
You just want people to like understand that the value of it is not 1-to-1, right?
Right.
Like if you want to buy just a month of game time, you buy a month of game time. This is to get gold in and out of the game.
Sure. Is anyone worried about, because you say that, it made me think of this. Is anyone worried at all about this actually having this weird revitalizing effect on illegal gold farming markets, which, you know, in a lot of ways were sort of shut down by this change in WoW, or at least, I don't know, some of that stuff was brought to bear, but it feels like maybe there'd be some incentive for a gold farming company in China or something, or Steve Bannon's house, I don't know which, but where somebody to go, you know what, now this stuff's used in way more places and it's actually a real currency in many ways. Yeah. So I don't
basically,
know.
Basically, the issue comes in if some third party illegal gold farming site sells you, let's say, the amount of gold you need to buy a token, 100,000, for less than $15.
Yeah.
Right. If you can buy 1,000,000 gold for $10 because it's been, you know, hacked and whatever, or, you know, they have farms, gold farms somewhere in a cheap labor country, then yes, that's a problem. Because if you buy $10 worth of gold and you get 1,000,000 on that site, then you convert it into $100, sure, you can't get it out from the Blizzard ecosystem, but still, for $10, then you get $100 worth of Blizzard stuff. That is a very hacky way to go about it, and I'm sure Blizzard is going to be cracking down on them, mm-hmm. but it should be a concern.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't know if this is going to improve things or make things harder for them, but maybe they don't care.
How much is gold on the gold sites? Quick, someone
no idea.
Say the name of a gold site.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to go to one. You're going to get firmware or some BS.
Yeah, I don't want to go to the weird sites.
So what do you want, EU or US?
That's the US. Or no, let's do EU.
Don't name the site.
No, I'm not going to name the site. Of course I'm not going to name the site, Patrick. What do you think I am? but on Titanium Bay at the moment, are we just going to say, let's go for Earthen Ring. So Earthen Ring Horde. So currently, depending on how much I buy, so let's say 50,000 gold is, it's in pounds for me, but it's £12.30. And I currently get an extra free 37,500. So I get like 87,000 for a bit shy of the cost of a token. Or so for 17.22, which is above a token, I get 122,000.
That's
on Earth and Ring. I don't know what Earth and Ring's current token prices are, in all fairness, but
I think that they're hovering between 80 and 100,000, and it's going to settle down at some point. But yeah, I think 80, usually
last I checked was 80 or something. It went from 20 to like 60 in no time, and then slowly crept to 80, and I think it's starting to.
It was 120 at some point right after.
So what is it? What's it at the moment? On Earth and Ring. Sorry,
we can probably look that up. While someone does that, just real quick, I found another a U.S. gold site, and they say, I'm not going to say who it is, 100,000 plus 10% free, so 110,000 gold for $18.90.
So that's interesting. That's basically around the price. Then, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the price of the equivalent of the token. So really, it's not worth your while. And even if there are other sites that sell it cheaper, I'm sure it's not going to be worth getting your info compromised potentially, or just the knowledge that you're actually supporting the people who hack everyone's accounts to get mm-hmm. that gold in part.
Yeah, and I think equally it's there's not enough money in it. Mm-hmm. There's not enough money to make it worthwhile. I mean, the top end amount I can buy here is 3 million gold with a free 2.25 million. So what's that? That's $5.25 million gold for £492. So that's 4922 pounds. And that is, hang on, let me just try and.
How many dong is that?
Hang on, I'm just gonna tell you in so that's $615. I can get 5 million gold on EU side at least.
Jeez.
So yeah, it depends what you're into.
Yeah, I guess that does depend on what you're into. So North American Realms currently, the buy price is 83,685 gold is the current thing, and the range over the last 24 hours has been between 80 and 88, so it's been fluctuating. The general trend is evening out. The huge rise to 115, that dropped eventually to 61, and now it's sort of hanging around the 83-84 range. European Realm, 152,309 gold.
Jeez.
So what's up with that?
Double the price?
Yeah. That was as high as 186, though. So. And that was the last 24 hours it actually hit
more gold in Europe.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. Chinese realms, 256,128 gold, and Taiwan at 178, Korean at 242. Actually, 242 is the looks like China wins. China's got the highest price. So that's fascinating to me. By the way, I found that information at wowtoken.info. So if you're so inclined, you want to follow that thing, that's the place to follow it. Anyway, we'll see how it goes. It's really weird to me, but I like that this can happen now, and it does make me think, like, between expansions, especially if I've got a few hundred thousand gold sitting around, why not convert that to money and buy some stuff that I want.
I think you're probably, the money you have is probably has been made for people like us. It's been created over a few years. If you do that, I wonder if you're gonna have some money that you need in the next expansion that you're not going to have.
Yeah, good point. But, plus I hate what do you call them? I hate professions. So it's not like I'm going to go earn it real quick.
There you go.
So
I think ultimately what this, the token does is that the same as before, but even more because people have more reasons to do it. It's transferring gold from people who have a lot of time and not a lot of money to people who have a lot of money and not a lot of time.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like socialism, Patrick. I'm not sure how we should feel about that.
Well, they are Californian, so...
they are indeed. You're not wrong about that.
Although the amount of money they're making, the amount of money they're making would make socialists' eye pop out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shazam!
Yeah, Shazam is right. All right, let's talk briefly about, there's a Heroes of the Storm promotion that will get you something in World of Warcraft, so I think it's important to talk about it now, because we're talking about WoW. The Primal Flame Saber, which was Terpster's wrestling name in high school, but
it was.
It's no longer that, it's now this mount. It's basically the Legion, what do you call it, Demon
Fel
Hunter,
Saber.
Fel Saber, thank you. It's that, but it's all flamey and cool.
Got like fire crystal shoulders as well.
Yeah, it's badass. The quest is simple. Within the allotted time, complete 15 Heroes of the Storm games with a friend as any hero from the Warcraft universe. Easy peasy. I do that in a couple days.
Has that has that started already? Because I couldn't
see it. I think
it's
on
February 14th.
Okay. Yeah, it's on the PTR. We'll be out, I assume, with this Lucio patch coming up. Upon completing the quest, you'll be handsomely rewarded with sweet in-game loot for both World of Warcraft and Heroes of the Storm. This, according to Blizzard, they say take the reins of justice in the Nexus astride the Flames of Judgment Charger mount. We'll go nicely with your that other one, that set that what's-his-name has. I can't think of anybody's
name. That's what
we
call it. The other one set. The other one.
The
has,
other one guy yeah. has. Not Arthas. Freaking Uther. Uther's thing that he's got. He's got a whole set. Yeah. And then Terra Cross Azeroth riding your new Primal Flamesaber. That is an easy peasy thing to do, man. And man, that's a cool mount. So get on that and do that. Because why wouldn't you? Seems dumb not to. All right. So there's that. What else? You know what? To tell you about this next thing, I'm going to play a little music, see if this sounds familiar to anybody. So here you go. Little taste. Nope, wrong one. You just got to keep moving forward. This starts to sound familiar. Oh, yeah.
It's Lucio!
Drop the beat! So, Lucio is coming to the Nexus, Heroes of the Storm. He's on the PTR. I have played a bunch with him. He is really fun and is a very interesting kind of support hero. He comes out Tuesday, official release on Heroes of the Storm. If you are a Lucio fan or a Heroes of the Storm fan, he is a really great addition to the healer lineup, I think. I've probably played, I don't know, five quick matches with him, but he's awesome. So that's coming. Is anyone else excited about it other than me? Because I am totally excited about him being in there.
Well, Scott, as someone who enjoys Overwatch and whose last 14 games of Heroes have been one win and 13 losses. 13.
What is
losses.
Up with you? Boy, you're in the wrong bracket. What's going on, man? Gotta get you
I don't
doing
know.
Better.
At this point, I just want to be down demoted to anywhere where I can just not lose all the time.
Why not?
He's but, great, though. He's freaking great.
It sounds like you built up your MMR and then didn't play for a while.
Yeah, that's what that sounds like to me,
and
too.
And then you came back and the meta had changed and everything was different. Well, and yeah. You were like maybe playing a hero that's been nerfed, but you didn't know. And
yeah. You know, Dills I'd love right. to believe that. Yeah. I think I just anyway. Yeah. And by the way, thank you to everyone who was super supportive and who loved the show we did last week with Scott.
Oh Got yeah, the competitive discussion. Yeah, that was really great. I'm not since the lore episodes have we had that kind of feedback. People really liked that conversation about competitive play, the future of Blizzard games, and how they all seem to be tied to some competitive nature or another. I think that really resonated more than I even thought it would. So that was great.
Yeah,
He's really fun and he's ridiculous in a lot of ways. That the fact that I don't know, he does some things a little bit weird, and he already did them in Overwatch, so it's not really his fault. But green means speed and yellow means heal is kind of antithetical to the way things work.
Loved that conversation in Core with John, and that was such a lovely thing to get hang up about.
Yeah, it's kind of dumb, but it is also kind of weird. Like, I'm used to green beam Morales, and now I have that means speed for this new healer. It doesn't mean
it
healing.
Didn't bother me until you mentioned it.
Yeah.
Now that you did, it does.
You'll never get it out of your head. He's great though. People should look forward to him.
Yeah.
He's going to be fun.
He feels like, since he has his healing aura, he feels like a relatively easy character to play. Is that the case?
I would say, I mean, he's a very different style of healer to play in that game, I think. And yes, you're just sort of moving with your circle of healing, which you may talent to do different things and whatever. And you have amp it up, which, I mean, it all works like it does in Overwatch. In fact, even his E ability here literally is his E ability in Overwatch, which is just
interesting.
That's
what they found with Zarya, wasn't it? Is they could just basically pick him up and drop him in and they work.
Yeah.
And I think it's chiefly because of how much Overwatch is like a MOBA, as much as they always say it's not. It very much is.
Yeah, it has abilities. You have basically you have not really auto attack, but you have sort of auto attack. You have two abilities and an ultimate, and it's a lot, and sometimes three. It's a lot like a MOBA by its very nature. And so they can deny that all they want, but I think that's why these work really well. But the way he does this is the funny bit. So you're riding around in a village, you know, on one of the maps or something, and you're wall skating across the faces and the cows and the walls of, you know, it's just some corner of the map. And that gives you a speed boost, and you can change that with talents and make that even better. It's a funny way to apply stuff he does in Overwatch into this game and have it be useful. So I think it's pretty brilliant how they're implementing him. But overall, he like Morales, his job is to support. He is not Karazim, who can dive and do all kinds of crazy damage if you spec him right and that sort of thing. He's not going to win any one-on-one team fights. But what he is going
like
to do
that.
Is...
I like that. Yeah. That's good, though. It's a good defined role.
Yeah.
That I think it's great for new players who are like, well, what do I do? And it's like, look, you just got to do this one thing. Don't worry about this. Don't worry like, oh, have you seen a chance there? You just heal.
Yeah.
Just be there and heal.
And do it really well. Exactly.
A beautiful place to be.
Yeah. Like his push-off thing. What's that called?
Push-off.
His right click.
That. Yeah, yeah.
His right click. I can't think of what it's called. Anyway.
Push-off.
The boop. It's the boop.
The boop.
Yeah.
When he does that, he's...
Push-off.
It's like Morales' grenade in that it's a very utilitarian thing that can help in a fight. And, you know, so there's more to do than just simply heal. But that is definitely going to be his role. People have been asking for more heroes like that. So I think he's going to be a fine addition. And I'm pretty excited about it. So look forward to that on Tuesday. What's going on in Hearthstone? The Secrets of Un'Goro is like a leaked thing. And I don't know zip about it. So Dills, let's throw it to you. Where are we at with this leak?
Well,
is it
essentially
real?
Essentially, what happened was a voice actor who's worked on several of the past Hearthstone expansions has a resume on her website. Mm. And somebody, because it's the internet, was basically perusing her website, looked at the resume, and there was cited voice work for Hearthstone, Secrets of Un'Goro, right? Mm-hmm. And listed a few characters that had been voiced. So people were like, oh, well, that must be the new expansion because that doesn't exist yet, right? Mm-hmm. But if you've already done work on it and you're citing it as work, then... And now she may have messed up. She may have supposed to have put this on her resume until it was released. Who knows what the details of any
games
were.
She was then asked to take it down. So.
Yeah, it seemed to me like an honest mistake, and I hope nothing really... Like, what I didn't like is everybody was, like, throwing her name out there. And,
yeah, I hope she doesn't get,
well, once
like,
it's out,
big
it's
trouble.
Out.
Yeah, I know, but it's like, you don't have to keep repeating it every... I don't know. We could just say this is how it happened, and then move on.
Yeah.
But it seems pretty legit. Secrets of Un'Goro is... Like, there's a lot going on there, obviously. We don't know anything else at this point, so it's not like we can say...
Dinosaurs
for a sweet. There's dinosaurs. But you know, Jocelyn wanted us to point out on the Angry Chicken, and it's very true. Also, Un'Goro Crater, for people who aren't familiar with like all of the WoW lore, is also kind of like the petri dish of Azeroth that the Titans would use to like kind of experiment with stuff.
It's one of a few. Yeah.
So, like, there's a lot of Freya stuff that could maybe happen here. We shall see. But definitely dinosaurs, slimy things. Maybe we get Lincoln. I don't know. Like we
yeah, that'd be good. And Marion. Yeah. Be good. Because it had a load of Nintendo references in there as well, which is great.
Yeah. Although that's not there anymore, right? That quest line.
The quest line's gone.
Since
aren't...
the Cataclysm, yeah, because they changed a lot in there.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. The crater got tweaked. Also, we'll
and there's that Marshall's Stand or whatever it is. In the northern...
Where they're at.
Will they have cards that are talk about how confusing it is to get to the Marshall Stand? Because, good Lord, it was impossible to find that entry into the mountain there. I hated that. Probably not.
Yeah, well, it was hard to find the path that went up.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
it sucked. I remember
hopefully
just...
there's going to be a card that's called, like, Mithril Deposit. we'll see. Yeah. It'll be interesting. There's lots of stuff going on there. It's funny because Un'Goro Crater, I spent so much damn time in that place. But it was so long ago that it's all kind of like it exists kind of in my memory.
Gorilla.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. The gorilla. Yeah.
There were quite a few. Quite a few different gorillas in the area.
I had a white gorilla from there that I kept for a very long time. Until
there you
I
go.
Realized...
Like great gorillas. Wasn't, some of the best gorillas.
Yeah.
Big wasn't fan. There a giant? A giant dinosaur, like a
well, that's
King
where
Crush.
The Devil Saur is.
Yeah, it's King Crush. Yeah, the Devil Saur, the King Crush. That's him.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, and you know that'll be part
it's
of this.
I recognize you from the TV.
He will
King
end
Crush
up...
was actually a boss in King Crush was a boss in a five man. I can't remember which
was
one.
Was it Tenaris or something? Wasn't it?
Hold on.
No, you're right.
He was in the Azul.
Sholazar Basin was King Crush. Never mind. Yeah. What was the guy? You could tame a boss.
Yeah, I remember this. And it was, he was really hard for a long time.
It was the one where you had to go in and pull like all the little dudes out. Because when you pulled him, it would pull all of his little buddies.
Wasn't it so like Zul'Drak?
Zul'Drak, that's it. Drakthoron Keep. That's it. Right?
Oh, is that it? That, okay.
But that's in Zul'Drak. That's,
I don't know.
I think that's totally it. I remember going in there over and over trying to do that, and we could never. I don't think I ever did it. I don't think I ever got him tamed. I think it was back when it was
I have him still. But what problem is that once you tame him, he just becomes like a regular devil sword.
Yeah, he's just a raptor looking devil sword with a.
It was kind of annoying because you were like, dude, that was awesome. Oh, King Dredd. Okay, King Dredd. King Crush. Was running around Sholazar.
So Sholazar is one of the other Petri dish type places.
Yeah. These also sound like the two new mobile games coming out from King next year, King Dredd and King Crush. all right. Well, you know what? That sounds like a fine expansion to mess
with. Yeah, it should be cool. Now, the one interesting thing to note as well is that normally in the past, the expansions have always gone expansion, adventure, back and forth. But now with the kind of advent of their new yearly plan and the standard rotation, this should be a full expansion. Mm. So what we should get every year is two full expansions sandwiching some sort of an adventure in the middle of the year. So we should be getting an influx of like a, you know, 100 something.
Back expansions.
Yeah.
Mm. I love it.
You like that, do you? All right.
But also, I mean, the fact that when this comes out, the other thing is that the rotation will happen. So we're going to be losing three sets of cards. So if you're a player who's contemplating whether you want to start taking Hearthstone seriously, the best time to do it will be basically every year when the first rotation happens for Standard, because that's when the least cards will be kind of in the card pool of Standard, right?
Right.
So it'll be easier to catch up. Mm. So if you're thinking about it and you're like, man, I can't get all those cards. A lot of cards won't be available in Standard come March or April, whenever this comes out. So you can, buy a bunch of packs of the newest expansion, maybe run some Arena or craft some of the older cards that are still useful, and you'll be fairly caught up.
Yeah. Sounds like that's their solution to the catch up. I mean, that's just,
I mean, that's how card games kind of do it. Magic has been running like this for 20 years. Right.
Yeah.
So, their standard rotation happens in a very similar fashion where a bunch of sets rotate out all at once. So suddenly the card pool is smaller for a short period of time, and that's when new players can really kind of jump in.
Yeah, yeah.
Without it being overwhelming.
Well, looking forward to some dinosaurs. That's going to be fun. Patrick, let's talk about the Overwatch news. First, let's do the server browser thing. I don't know anything about it other than they announced they were doing a server browser, and my brain immediately went, Unreal Tournament 2004, baby. We're getting, server browsers. This is like, where's GameSpy when you need it? So,
I grabbed my Mountain Dew. I said, buddy, it's LAN time.
That's what it is. You know, they've been talking about it for a while. And, of course, every time they mention it, they talk about those old 90s, early 2000s, super fun times that we had in those games.
Yeah.
So basically, it's on the PTR now. It's already available for you to test. And, it's not quite a server browser. They're calling it that, but it's not like you're going to be hosting your own private server for Overwatch to, play it like it was back in vanilla when it was great. It's just you can start a game mode and customize a lot of the settings from that game mode. And it's a little bit, it's very different from what we had in the custom games until now, where you could only do things like select the game mode and choose whether or not you would allow only headshots and choose the characters and stuff like that. It's that on steroids. So you can change things like the speed of the payload, the speed at which you capture a point. You can change individual abilities for each hero individually, like reduce the cooldown, increase the cooldown, increase the speed at which they move, increase the health pool, increase the speed of the projectiles for Pharah or or Junkrat or anything. Like, you can't add new maps or new geometry, like 3D models. That you can't do. But anything else, you can pretty much customize as you want. So people have already started finding fun ways of using these things. The two I've seen the most is, the first one is super crazy arcade version where you basically have no cooldown for anyone and 300% speed on everything. Mm-hmm. So this is completely insane. We can get back to it in a second if you want. But the other mode that people have been developing basically is boss fights. So you give huge amounts of health to one character and you get him to fight four or six other characters that have different properties. So it's sort of this asymmetrical type of game that you can create when it's not initially available in the game. For now, it's been out for a few days only. There's a lot of crazy, stupid stuff. A lot of it, and very few that actually make sense as a long-term actual game mode. But we can absolutely imagine that this, and if they add additional features, we can start finding out which games the community will enjoy and maybe create some different game modes that they'll be paying attention to and getting feedback from and maybe, you know, looking into implementing into the game. Or that's still very early.
Just but stealing people's ideas, exactly. I love
basically,
it.
Yeah. As they did in you know, that
with other... Heroes, exactly. They were like, oh man, this Dota game looks great that someone made in our Warcraft 3
well,
engine.
Well, what I meant was that in Warcraft 3, yeah, exactly. There were tower defense and Dota that were born out of.
Man, why isn't there a good elemental tower defense game? Like, I want to play elemental tower defense.
Because tower defense sucks.
That's no, but why. Elemental Tower Defense was an amazing, amazing game, and I want that again. I want it like on an iPad, and it not be like Boons or whatever.
Well, for now, you're getting Overwatch server browser turf, sir. So just be happy with what you get.
Well, so okay. Do you reckon someone's going to make a tower defense game in that?
So the problem is you can't really change enough to create a completely, completely different game.
Right. These aren't mod tools.
And you made everyone else the training robots. And they had to run through and I just zzzz as they go past.
Yeah, well, you just have to stand there and be the tower.
You can't quite do that, but you can do AI for one team and regular for the other team. So there was a PvE thing where someone made a Omnic attack mode where you only had Bastions and one Zenyatta on one end, and they were very slow but very buffed in health characters, AI on the attacking side, and then defending you had the regular characters. So if you're creative enough, you can do some fun stuff.
Yeah, this is like the Heroes custom mode thing that they put in, I don't know, 2 weeks ago or whatever, except That's
dynamic.
Yeah, that was sliders. You could do it in real time. So whoever started the game could, like, in the middle of the game, reset everything or reset ultimates or turn everybody's speed down to, like, hardly anything. And we had a lot of fun with that.
Or they could just take their ball and go home.
They totally
which
could.
I love.
Yeah, they could. But I really like the idea of this. It's like Unreal Tournament Mutators. The difference here is that you're stuck with the mutators they give you and then combinations therein. Whereas in Unreal, you had Epic's mutators, but then you also could play with community mutators. So this is.
I'm guessing that achievements are disabled in the server.
Oh, have
yeah,
to be.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah, have to be.
I'm sure.
XP
it's basically
as well.
In the arcade mode. So.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, there's
so
no
I was
way.
Hoping that I could be like, all those, you know, those really annoying achievements, I made a server for those. You come in, you just press this button. Oh, look, everyone booped off the thing, hey?
Yeah, but there's no achievements, no XP, none of that stuff, I'm sure, is carrying over.
Well, in arcade mode, you do have XP. I don't know. I mean, it's still like 3 days into that. I didn't pay attention to that, I'll be honest. But the games are insane. Most of them are stupid. But, you know, when you have like six Pharahs flying indefinitely with no cooldown and basically instant rocket speed and everyone zipping around 300% speed for movement, it's insane. It's crazy. It's like it, you go back to the regular game and you're like, oh, this is it. You know what it feels like? It feels like if you've ever played in the arcades, Street Fighter 2, they started making hacked versions of Street Fighter 2 that was like you could launch fireballs in the air and like do all of your moves midair at originally you couldn't, and it was like three times as fast. This is what it feels like. It's really dumb, but someone is going to find a way to make it work, and it's going to be fun.
Yeah, they'll figure it out. The Heroes thing was like that too.
That was a Street Fighter Turbo or whatever, right?
Well, so the
you're talking about like hacked versions.
Hyper yeah. Fighting and Turbo were later though, right? Weren't they?
Sure.
That was kind of them. Arrived. Yeah, that was like them saying, "Hey, we should implement some of these ideas ourselves."
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They made it because the hacked versions were so popular, and why.
Street Fighter. Let's play some Street Fighter. what else? So there's this note I'm just mad about. I don't care about Winston's change because I don't think it's that hard, but Roadhog's getting nerfed. He's gonna, here's some specifics. His scrap gun is in line to have its spread decreased by 20%. F that.
That's good. What are you talking about?
It's
less
not good.
Spread.
No, I want more spread. I want to hit more targets.
That's
more
all the targets. Spread. That's more fragments hitting the thing you're aiming at.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you mean.
That's
so it's
not
more
a nerf. That's a buff.
It's a buff for Feature. Yes. When I pull somebody in, yes, it is. And here's how they're countering that. They now get drawn from 3-point meters away over the existing two meters. So that's a buff. But his chain hook is now
no.
What?
Like, wait. Targets will now be drawn from up to 3.5 meters away. Wait.
Existing two. Right now it's 2 meters, so it's shorter.
Right. So they're going to be brought less close to you, farther away.
Oh, right? I thought it meant the distance that you can pull them from. I get it.
No, because you can pull them
it's
from miles away.
It's weirdly worded. Yeah,
it's
weirdly
it is really weird. Okay, yeah. So there's that.
They now land further away from you, and you have a reduced spread, so you have to have a better aim after a hook to nail the easy peasy kill.
Right.
Because that's what it used to be. It used to be like, hit, boom, lol, you know, move on. You know, so this one now, at least you have to pay attention and look at the guy rather than just, you know, like I've clicked as soon as my hook's up, yeah.
I didn't know there was a lol key.
It was crazy. It was insane. I mean, Roadhog basically...
Because once they fixed the hook, then they had to fix Roadhog because, like, wow.
It was... What was happening with Roadhog was that you didn't really count the hook and the killing you as two different things. It would just happen 99% of the time anyway. So if you got hooked, you were dead for, you know, again, 80% of the characters. So that was insane. Mm-hmm. And also they had the cooldown increased from 6 seconds to 8 seconds with this. You know, it's an upcoming patch coming soon.
Yeah.
So they needed to do something about Roadhog. It was insane. He was basically every 6 seconds he could kill someone if he was a good Roadhog. And when you would say that in game, people were answering like usually Roadhog, like, oh, but he's only good if you play him well. And you're like, if you play well, you get a kill every 6 seconds. But that, how is that balanced?
It was a skill shot. It's a skill shot
it's
that
not
people
like,
are getting.
Yeah,
down.
Exactly. Like when you see professionals, and it's like, oh, he's a Genji main. He's dangerous.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, he plays Overwatch like, you know, 3 nights a week, and so he's on Roadhog. So yeah, he's gonna get a kill. Yeah, that's the difference. Like if the skill ceiling was higher, which is what they're trying to push it towards, then it's all fine. But, you know, at the moment, it's very much not.
Yeah.
It was basically a you die button if you manage to hook someone, which, let's be honest, it's not incredibly difficult. Even if you miss, you know, one out of two or two out of three, you're still going to be killing a whole lot of people once you, you know, manage to hook them. So, yeah that's a good
thing. Once you get ahead of that skill shot, you're good at Roadhog. And I love Roadhog, so I still feel like I'm getting nerfed. But whatever, it's fine. I understand.
You are, but it's warranted.
It's okay. A warranted nerf. I understand completely. All right. That leads us straight into some quick emails. We got one right here. Check it out.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the Town Crier.
All right, Town Criers, where we get your emails. We read them here on the show. Theinstance@gmail.com is the email address, and we got an email from Eric, who says this: I realize this is a bit late, but I'm just now listening to the show from 120, but I wanted to weigh in on a comment from Dills because it's a repeat from several months back. He notes how the Alliance is way better at PvP, which he used to attribute to the racials, but that is no longer an issue. The truth is that the dominant faction varies from battle group to battle group. On, I can't read that name, for example, his battle group, the Horde win rate is about 75% of the BGs. I have the in-game stat window as proof and a large enough sample size, 100,000 PvP kills, almost all in BGs, to be statistically significant. I would
humble brag.
Yeah, humble brag. Also, those numbers do seem right. But anyway, I'm not the best PvP player around, but I do the right things based on the BG, defend the flags, don't fight in the roads. He wrote that weird. Call incomings, etc. So it can be because of, or can't be just because of me. Even if I was the worst PvP player in the game, I don't think I could single-handedly wreck those ratios that bad. So the alliance isn't always better. It just depends on your battle group. Dills, your response, rebuttal.
I'm pretty sure I didn't say that all alliance BGs were just better. I think I just said that my experience right now in Battlegrounds is that alliance is better in my games. Mm.
Fake news.
Consistently.
Fake news.
So, yeah.
Do you feel like...
I agree with him. I think he's absolutely correct. It's not... No longer is the issue a game issue. Now the issue is simply in certain battle groups, the balance is going to be off based on just the people who are playing in there. And he's also, but this was kind of also my point, which he reinforces in this email. I, as a single PvP player, cannot like fix my battle group, right? Mm-hmm. I can't go in and play really well and suddenly we win. Like, obviously I make some difference, but I don't make enough of a difference that it's going to consistently mean that suddenly I will be winning more often than not, right? So,
yeah.
But this is why in that respect, faction-based conflicts, because, you know, people congregate with the other good players. And you're like, you know what? It seems like on my realm, it's all these guys I'm going to change. And eventually, sure, over time, you get these matured, established communities of talented, passionate players. Mm-hmm. So until we have it so that when you queue for a BG, it's not based on your faction but on your rating, and mm-hmm, you know, it's treated like it would be an Overwatch in any other game, yeah, you're always going to find this. And it's just going to be exactly, either you transfer away from your friends to try and find a battle group where it's more in your faction's favor and you're playing alongside better, you know, players, or Blizzard changes how they do things. They get so passionate and worried about, like, it's all about, you know, orcs versus humans, Horde versus Alliance. When ultimately, when I'm playing the game, I just don't want to lose all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think this is the key point here is not that I was suggesting that somehow Alliance is just naturally better than Horde and it sucks. What you're saying is exactly what happens. Like, over time on my battle group, if Alliance tends to win more, Alliance players tend to continue to play Battlegrounds, right? Because they're having fun and they're winning. Yeah. And the Horde players just kind of stop. And then we just never improve.
So that battle group individually then becomes an alliance heavy battle group because the ones having fun are winning and the ones who aren't. So naturally,
yeah. It's, and so yeah, we fall behind in gear. We fall behind in experienced players in PvP. We fall behind in players who understand how to play as a team. And then eventually, like, you just have this big mess, right? Where
you've got a really immature, not in laughing at boobies, but just in terms of, you know, they're not as established in, you know, kind, sure, of, you know, in the position.
They don't understand versus how to win necessarily.
Exactly, versus these grizzled veterans. Winning,
right?
Yeah, you're up against these green berets. It's like, oh man, yeah, they've done this a lot.
Yeah. It's interesting that they...
So basically, like, I think Terpster's absolutely right. Like, the battle groups thing is not a great way to be dividing up players anymore. It's like, you really should have some sort of an MMR that matters.
Yeah.
And you can have a Battleground MMR and you can have an Arena MMR that are two separate things because obviously you play the games two separate ways.
Plus, your way of dealing with that and say Heroes, I mean, in a lot of cases you can enter a game where your team blows, but you carry the game and win because out of five people, you can be a carry.
You're 20% of the team.
Correct. Yeah. In this case, or a BG.
I use this analogy with basketball all the time. Like, Michael Jordan can win 6 championships and Barry Bonds can win 0 because Barry Bonds is 1 out of 9 guys and they walk him every time he comes up, right?
Very good point.
And Michael Jordan is 1 out of 5 guys and you can't walk him. You have to deal.
Right, exactly. That's a really perfect example.
The same way in a game like Heroes, where you can't just not let that guy do stuff, right? So if somebody's really, really good at the game, it's going to make a big difference. And in a game where when it's 40-on-40 and you're running down, basically killing NPCs in a battleground, What you do matters quite a bit less.
I feel like there's
I'd like to apply another sports analogy. It's much like lawn bowls over here in the UK.
Yeah.
And you've got something like, you know, you've got Tim Michaels there, and he's just, you know, getting it, you know, within millimeters of the jack. And then you've got someone like, you know, kind of Freddie Jacks, who just, you know, he doesn't need that. He just, you know, he just gets in there just to, so I just thought I'd apply my own sport.
Sure.
Analogy.
We appreciate
obviously
that.
A lot of people,
yeah,
you know,
we all relate to it because we all watch sure. that. We know what it is.
They see me rolling, they hating. That's what we say over on the lawn bowls.
So my only other thing I would say about this is, why do we think then, and I think I already know the answer because Blizzard really values this, but why do you think Blizzard holds so tightly to, we need it to be Horde versus Alliance and not,
because it's
anybody.
The way it's always been.
Mm. Well, Horde versus Alliance is really the problem.
It's not greedy anymore. You have the mercenaries.
You've got the mercenary stuff, so. Yeah. But it's not the, but then that needs to be the default. That needs to be just like in Overwatch,
that,
you just bam.
We need to be putting us up against I'll be with other Horde players with similar MMRs to me against Alliance players with similar MMRs to them, right? And
that would be, I'd be happy with that. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Because I like them adhering to lore and integrity of long-standing conflict story and all that. I like that. But if it doesn't, if it defeats gameplay.
If you create a new thing, so it's like when we do the Ring of Blood and the Trial of Fire or whatever, you know, and you just get, you know, some goblin, you know, guy having a gladiatorial combat thing. If you just had, you know, like a big gladiator's pit and or gladiator's, you know, kind of field, it was like the Hunger Games. You just put a goblin behind it and say like, hey, welcome to the Hunger Games. Go kill each other. And that's it. Then, you know, you've got your story. It's like, you know, like someone's like, oh, my God, I've been captured and put in this Hunger Games. Another one's like, I'm going to win my freedom through the Hunger Games.
Right.
And it's like, I'm going to be a billionaire thanks to the Hunger Games. You know, you can do it. It's just the way we do it currently is built around like, we have a fort. And we must fight each other to see whose fort is the better fortification. We're going to win. Oh, no, the orcs won.
Yeah.
It is definitely the thing. It is, you know, inherited from the origins of Warcraft, in which Hordes versus Alliance is incredibly important. And as an MMO, that's the kind of, you know, remember that when WoW came out, you had entire MMOs that were built on realm versus realm PvP, like not realm in, like we have now. Like, yeah, you had, that was a big deal at that time. So I think there's some lineage there.
But then you look
there.
At games like, you know, Elder Scrolls, which is RVRVR, no one cares. Mm-hmm. No one's playing that game.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those things, a little bit like people saying, like, oh, paladins have to be for the Alliance and shamans have to be for the Horde. How dare you?
No, it's true.
And they make the change, no one cares. People care at the time, no one cares.
However, I think, you know, it's entirely possible that we will see this happen at some point, and the you know, the population skill imbalance will be dealt with once and for all.
And you know what I'll say?
I'm pretty sure.
Thank you, Blizzard, catering to the casuals once again. Promotionize the game, you son.
But I do think that we will always find another reason to complain that our, you know, because ultimately the reality is that the team that sucks is not the one, you know, that's blue or red or whatever. It's the one we're in. And that we will always find reasons to complain that the team we're in is full of noobs, full of scrubs, and we're actually a little bit, that's what we were talking about a little bit earlier. We're better than all of them, and we should be placed higher, but really, they suck. And I'm sure some of it also has to do with the fact that, you know, it's Alliance versus Horde, and better players congregate, whatever. But what I'm saying is, it's not like all of a sudden, because things will be fixed in one regard, there won't be reasons to complain about the system. And one example, I think, is we were complaining, what, last year or a year and a half ago, exactly about that with the racials, right? And you were making the point, Dills, the very correct point, that the racials were creating an imbalance. And I think I said at some point, yeah, but if they fix the racials, we'll find a way to complain about something else. And now we're complaining about the fact that, yeah, but the good players congregate around this or that faction, depending on your battle group. Mm-hmm. I really think that if they fix that, we'll complain about yet another thing. So I'm not saying they shouldn't fix that. Maybe they should. But I don't think all of a sudden everything's going to be rainbows and unicorns.
Oh, no, exactly. I mean,
and definitely not true. I mean, look, there's always going to be issues with balance, because balance is a really hard thing to find perfectly, right? Mm-hmm. And even when you put really stringent rules around balance, again, we'll go back to sports. The NFL has essentially profit sharing, and the worst teams get the number one pick and blah, blah, blah. So you're supposed to have parity across the league. You still get a douchebag like Tom Brady, who wins 5 Super Bowls throughout his career, right? Now, I'm just kidding. Tom Brady's fine with me. I don't care. That's become a meme lately.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, you can't ever make it so that it's perfectly balanced all the time.
Captain Planet,
but what you can do is you can at least, like, put in the best possible systems to give players the best possible chance to find, like, a balanced experience, right?
Yeah.
And I know that Blizzard's aware of this, and I know that they constantly kind of work on this. So I'm not, like, I'm not out here being like, Halinka sucks. They give me this crappy game, blah, blah, blah. Basically, what I'm just saying, right now, there's still room for improvement in the PvP experience. And it does suck to really enjoy PvP and then feel like it's kind of soul crushing to play. So I've been recently having this experience where I'm trying to get people to PvP with me, and everybody's like, oh, I don't do it.
Yeah. Like, why does I just do skirmishes now? Just
and there's a reason why everybody doesn't do it. And it's because they don't go in and have a good experience, right? Mm-hmm. So hopefully at some point something can happen where the experience becomes a little bit more positive for more people.
Well, that's why I like skirmishes, though. They're so quick.
Yeah.
You know, you're jumping in, bam, you either win, you lose. But you know what? You're back in again.
Yeah.
I can get
it does feel bad to go into a battleground and spend like 20 minutes in there just watching your team lose slowly.
Right? Yeah. Mm. And people leaving and rage quitting and blah, blah, blah. I just heard from Halinka on Twitter. He says, because Fridays are his tradition to drive and listen to the instance on the way home, he will address these things post haste. So,
how does he know? Is he listening now?
I sent him a tweet saying, "Hey, you may want to make sure to check out our email section today because I think you'd find it interesting." Okay. So,
I think
equally as well. Can we give a big shout out to Alex Afasabi and Chris Metzen for back in Mr. Pandaria, managing to make Garrosh basically Trump. And yet we didn't know. And like, I think it's amazing. Like, even down to, like, you know, Garrosh kicked all the trolls out of Orgrimmar. He was trying to make Orgrimmar great again. Uh-huh. He was just like, you're going to have, it's just all these jobs now for all the peons. Mm. Yeah. You got a job. And you know what? I just hope that we don't have a Siege of Orgrimmar coming up.
The comparisons are a little eerie, actually. And they did seem to be seeing the future.
The thing is, I love it. If Trump goes on Twitter just being like, I just found this big black heart in a chest, and I'm going to throw it in this primordial well and corrupt this entire land. I'll be like, you know, oh my gosh, the whole thing with the Assange heart was an analogy for fracking in the US. And that's Trump there. He's destroyed this perfect, tranquil land. It's now all corrupt and oily from the fracking.
Yeah.
Amazing.
But maybe, just maybe. So who's Thrall in the scene where he's in a giant fist out in the middle of the field dying in a fist? Who's that?
Barack Obama. He's back, baby. Oh, you thought Barack was gone? No way.
Yeah,
he's back.
Yeah. He speaks to the elements. I see.
You let the American people down, Trump. And that's it's like, oh, you made me. And it's like, you know, okay, send in the drones.
Yeah.
Send in the drones.
Yeah.
Bam.
And the drones just amazing. A big hand in the ground. I like it.
Yeah.
All right. I like where your head's at. If you'd like to send your own emails and have us discuss them here and have them devolve into a pseudo semi-political rant, you can send them to theinstance@gmail.com.
I'm English.
Yeah, it's
literally
all right. It's
not my president.
He's from Britain. Yeah, he's literally not his president yet.
Yeah, this is just the beginning.
Yeah,
man.
Just
remember
don't get
what
too
you
comfortable.
Guys used to do?
Yeah. That's us. Yeah, man, yeah. I can't wait.
It's America's
in which case,
now.
Hey, don't Trump.
You know what, Turfster? You're still getting out of Europe, so don't brag too much. You still have your issues.
I'm free.
Yeah, you've got just slight distraction right now.
I was paying for Patrick's heating bill. Why do you think he's got no heating? Because we're out.
Good point.
We're out.
Good point.
Taking it with us.
Let's whip around the table.
I have heating. I'm carrying logs. I've carried like a cubic meter of logs yesterday.
Is it like Rocky IV? You just out there like with the burning heart, just like smashing up. Oh man, I can't wait to see that.
That's amazing. Patrick,
living that rustic life right now.
Speaking of your rustic life, tell people how they can experience more of it, please, before we go.
Well, we didn't talk about the Bastion overhaul in Overwatch. So if you want to hear about that, we completely forgot. But thankfully, we talked about it in Overwatchers. So you can go listen to that show at amove.tv, which is Garrett's site. And if you want to hear more about like some serious discussions about politics and Trump and everything else, you can go to frenchspin.com and listen to the Phileas Club. We had a couple of episodes in the past 10 days, one which was neutral / left-leaning, one which was with conservatives, and we had a polite conversation in both cases. So it is possible. Check that out at frenchspin.com and find me at NotPatrick on Twitter and Facebook.
Nice. Dills, what's going on over there, man?
Check out my Twitch stream, twitch.tv/WillyDillsSF. I'm pretty much streaming daily over there. And new wrestling show with Justin Robert Young, 1-900-WRESTLING. We're hitting our stride. We're on the road to WrestleMania. Lots and lots of fun stuff happening in the world of wrestling. And if you're into it, you know what we're talking about, and you want to hear us talk about it, go check us out.
When is WrestleMania?
It says far more about me, but I heard nude wrestling show.
Oh.
And I was like, hello. Mm-hmm. Yes, with Justin Robert Young. I am watching that.
Yeah, you want to see some hairy genitalia. Can I recommend 1-900-WRESTLING?
Yes. Yes, please.
That guy.
Yeah, you can check out our audio diary from the Royal Rumble, actually. Is I think not the newest episode, but the one, like the second newest one.
Yeah.
And you just hear us progressively get drunker and drunker.
How was it? How was it on 30 with Roman? Was it? Did you
it was the entire...
They've done the entire
feeling in the auditorium changed immediately.
Yeah, I can imagine funny. It.
Oh, man.
Just people like, oh, no, Vince, you know.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Me and Justin both, you hear our reaction on it. We both started cracking up, basically.
Well, Terpster doesn't talk about this very much, but Terpster used to make a wrestling website.
Like, for Rob Van Dam, right? Yeah. Didn't you make Rob Van Dam's website?
I did stuff with Rey Mysterio back in the day.
Yeah.
That was before, it was literally World of Warcraft that stopped me progressing into the specific niche of wrestler website design, making their official websites. That's what I was doing back when I was a young baby.
Mm. Man, there's an alternate world out there where you are now making like Finn Balor's website.
Yeah. Exactly, just laughing at all those Warcraft nerds.
Am I right?
Can I have some more steroids?
I love it. Thank you. Go find it. Go on the Wayback Machine on archive.org and see if you can find Terpster's earlier work. I bet you can. Terpster, speaking of you, anything you'd like to mention before we go?
Not really. Yeah. No, I'm just me. You can find me on the Twitter machine where I make hilarious tweets all the time. The other day I was taking some cold medicine, noticed that I had three tablets that looked a little bit like a tiny phallus. So I made a joke about swallowing those. It's just stuff like that. That, you know, if you're wondering like, oh, I'm not laughing as much as I should be each day.
Yeah.
Just go on Twitter. And, you know, like I said, I maybe tweet once a day. So check it out and see how you're doing. Nice. Jules, are you in San Francisco at the moment? Or are you back in?
No, I'm in Austin.
Okay. Are you going back to San Francisco in a couple of weeks?
No current plans to go to San Francisco. Why? Are you going to be there?
About GDC. Yeah, GDC's in a couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah, you'll be in GDC. That's right.
I wish. But I'm like all traveled out right now.
Yeah,
I got two passes if anyone wants to join me.
Oh, damn.
You can come along.
Ooh.
Maybe I can trick my mom into thinking that it's a trip to go visit her.
Yeah, why don't you teach your mom? Say, Mom, I heard that you're not doing that well. Could you buy me a plane ticket so I can check you? I know you say you're okay, but I just need to see you to make
sure. I just want to make sure. Yeah, yeah. And then I'll show up and be like, I gotta go.
I gotta go, honey.
Shazam, sorry.
There's some weird indie developer making a weird game on VR. I gotta go. I have to leave.
It's so weird. That the stuff I'm getting through, because when you're on the list, then you get all the devs like sending you emails being like, hey, do you want to come see my game? And it's like, maybe, what is it? It's about an ant that can fly, but it's also a time traveler that is, did I mention it's VR and also augmented reality?
Oh, like, whoa. Oh, okay, holy shit.
That sounds like an awesome game. Yeah, I don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, there is a really cool, like one of the halls has like a VR room where you've all got rifles and headsets and you just walk around with your fake guns and your headset killing fake people.
That's why they call that room Pink Eye.
Because even then you can see on the marketing stuff, they have like plastic masks you wear first and then you put the VR goggles on top of like these like polythene, like it looks like a bin liner with some eyes cut out, and then you put the goggles on top. So hopefully you don't get pink eye.
Hopefully. That's I think it probably helps reduce it somewhat, but I bet the risk is still there.
To be honest with you, Scott, I will totally be using that excuse when I come back from San Francisco and I'm like, where do I have pink? It's from the VR goggles.
Yeah.
It's from the VR.
Yeah, because you didn't realize the little mesh screen that's supposed to protect you was also used by five guys before you. So enjoy.
Yeah.
Enjoy your pink eye. Well, there you go then. Hey, everybody listening, thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. Everybody who is here live, thank you so much. If you don't know when we do this, it's 10 a.m. Mountain Time every Friday morning at the following address, twitch.tv/frogpants. So go check that out if you'd like to be here live. Otherwise, send us emails, theinstance@gmail.com. You can, of course, find us on Twitter at Instance Show, Scott Johnson, Willie Deals, the_T, and not Patrick. Find more shows like this at frogpants.com, the newly redesigned frogpants.com. So go check it out. And the Instance.net will take you there as well. That's going to do it for us.
You should sub up on this Twitch channel using their Twitch Prime. If you have Amazon Prime and you're thinking, like, I just like my free next day delivery, we'll do.
Yeah.
Go on to Twitch, pair it to an account, and then give free money to Scott via subbing via Twitch Prime.
It's very kind of you. If you say to yourselves, man, I don't like Scott, he's a poop, well, then do it on Willie Deals SF as well. Mm. That's a great place to also put your Prime.
Or you know what you can do? You can Prime on one and then actually sub on the other. And then you're just
that
like,
way, then
you got your Prime and all the pies. After a month. Yep.
Yeah, and then you can switch them back and forth if you want, however you want to do it. And then don't ever give Patrick anything ever, all right? That's the main, what's we're trying to get at here. That's the point.
I'm perfectly fine with that.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll talk to you guys next week for a brand new episode of The Instance. Until then.
Does Grandad Beja not have a Twitch channel? Oh, Grandad Beja.
Oh, Grandpa.
Does he have a Twitch channel?
You're so sweet. Oh, why isn't that playing properly? Here we go.
Quick, how do you make a Twitch channel? Quick, tell me.
No.
Damn, kids.
Patrick, you know my favorite thing you've ever said is right here. This came from last week.
I'm not saying your literal penis.
Literal penis.
While the Legion threatens Azeroth, legions of heroes flock to Northwest Suramar. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. One of the most unpredictable things about the World of Warcraft is what players will find most appealing in each new area that is discovered. In Pandaria, many unexpectedly took to the quiet life of farming at Half Hill. On Draenor, garrisons were at first a welcome haven from adventuring, but soon grew into more of a prison than a refuge. But in the Broken Isles, the most sought-after piece of real estate is a small patch of land just across the river from Iron Grove Retreat. What has drawn thousands of adventurers off the front lines into this small meadow? Kittens. It appears the small creatures have some sort of aura emanating from them, which somehow causes people to worry less about the Legion, political turmoil between Alliance and Horde, whether a gnomish machine is going to automate them out of a job, etc. Things have gotten so crowded at the site that people have set up a network of scrying crystals to transmit images of the playful furballs to mirrors and water pools all across Azeroth. With the way the world is going to Helheim in a backpack, it would seem that many consider these kitten casts a perfect way to keep themselves from getting depressed.
Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes, get more at frogpants.com.